and you pray for me. I don't feel much preachy, and I don't feel much of a preachy spirit, but we're going to try to do our best and with what the Lord's laid on my heart. Whatever develops won't be His fault, I guarantee you. If nothing develops, it won't be His fault. It'll be ours, and if something good happens, we give Him all the praise for it. I'll never forget what Doc Seidler used to tell us as young preacher. Well, I wasn't really young. I was a preacher, young preacher. But he used to tell us in the church and in school, he'd say, "You'll never go wrong by crediting everything bad on yourself and everything good to the Lord." And I believe he's right on that. I don't find no fault in that. I want to give Him the glory for every good thing. And every bad thing, I'm either going to take the blame for it, or we can do like Adam and Eve done, we can blame it on the devil. We always want to try to blame our wrong off on somebody else anyway. Isn't that right? The Lord looked at Eve and said, looked at Adam and said, "What on earth have you done, Adam?" And he said, "The Lord," he said, "that woman you gave me." He said, "It's that woman. She gave me that fruit and I ate it." The Lord said, "What is this you've done?" And she said, "Oh, it was the devil." Said, "He beguiled me, the serpent beguiled me." They couldn't go back any further than that. That's as far as they could go. But we're great about passing the buck and blaming somebody else for our faults and failures of life. But I'm going to be honest, we don't have anybody to blame but ourselves. You young people in here tonight, if you don't excel and make something out of yourself, it'll be nobody's fault but yours. You live in the most prosperous country in the world. You live in a country where the gospel is more prevalent than any nation under the sun. And you live in a land of opportunity more than anywhere else in the world. And if you do not excel or succeed in life as a good Christian or otherwise, then it's nobody's fault but yours. I'll assure you that. Now I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles again tonight to the Song of Solomon and chapter number 5. And let's stand together and read the final text in the chapter and close out chapter number 5 in the Song of Solomon. I looked this morning, and in February, I believe in February, the first week of February, I preached on chapter 5 and verse 8 in February. And here it is almost June. And we're just closing out chapter 5. I'd have to get my books in there from Brother Steve to find when I started in chapter 5. But I think I probably preached more out of this chapter than any other chapter in the Psalm. And we will close it out tonight, and Lord willing, pick up next Sunday on chapter 6 and verse number 1. Don't forget, we'll have a visiting family with us from Brother Messick. And Brother Junior asked me if I'd do him one favor. He said, "Brother Hall, I don't ever ask many favors of you, but I want to ask one favor of you, if you please could do it." And I'm sure that some of us in here will take care of that. He said, "Would you please send me back 25 pounds of pinto beans?" And I said, "Yes, sir, Brother Junior, I'll find you 25 pounds of pinto beans and send them to Canada for you." Every Kentucky boy likes them pinto beans, son. Cornbread and onion. Amen. Ain't nothing like it in all the world. And if you want to get a little better than that, you can throw in some fried potatoes. That'll round it out. Amen. That'll make it. And he asked for some beans and pinto beans he is going to get. Amen. All right. Solomon's Song and chapter number 5. And verse number 16, "His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." Let's pray. Our Father, I'm thankful for this day that's been ours to stand in God's building and, Lord, to be able to preach the Word of God and set, Lord, in fellowship with God's people and trust that the great God of glory would honor us with His divine presence, grant us His divine favor, and do for us, Lord, what we cannot do for ourselves. I thank You for the Bible that's before me tonight and the verses of Scripture that You've laid on my heart. And I trust that You'll anoint tonight with that fresh oil of God, that Holy Spirit of God, and give the power and the unction, Lord, that's needed to preach. For without the power of God, our words will be meaningless, and they will accomplish nothing. For without Thee, Lord, we can do nothing. I'm asking You tonight to quicken Your Word to our hearts and regenerate lost and dying men and women and revive the body of Christ, the people of God. Refresh that heart that is discouraged and down in the mouth. And Lord, just help the church to see the sunshine one more time. And bless the preacher as I stand with all the help that God can give me. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. His mouth is most sweet, yea, He is altogether lovely. And then the bride mentions those last two things that expresses her love for the Lord Jesus. She says that He is still her beloved and that He is yet her friend. Now, I don't know how the Lord will really lead me tonight and let me preach, but I trust that He will lead me and let me say a few things to our church. And if He'd be pleased, it's just me now, but if God would be pleased, I'd like to say a few things tonight that might be a blessing to our young people. I'm satisfied. I'll say a few things and address them from the text and the thought that God has laid upon my heart. But the Bible said there that this is my beloved, and we preached on that this morning. And tonight I want to look at the second part of that, where it says, and this is my friend. And I want to preach for a little while, if God will let me. I may not do any more than talk to you. But I want to preach for a little while on the thought, Jesus, a friend of sinners. I'm glad, thank God, that He is a friend of sinners. The choir had no idea what they was doing tonight when they sang that song, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. I'm glad that He does. If He did not receive us as sinners, every one of us might very well be in hell tonight. At the very best, church, we would be on our way to a Christless eternity, except our Lord received sinful men. And I want to remind you that the bride here realizes that she is or was a sinner only saved by the grace of God. For she said in one place, she said, I am black, but I am comely. She yet recognized that she was a mere sinner, unable to get to God, and yet by His grace, He came to where she was and lifted her out of the depths of her depravity. I'm glad, thank God, that Christ is a friend to sinners. Amen. And if you don't believe that, when you get to heaven, you can ask men like Paul, who said that it's a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came into the world, what? To save sinners, of whom, he said, I am chief. I'm glad, thank God, that Christ saves sinners. I can say amen tonight to that. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost, and sinners are lost and depraved, unable to find their way to God, and would die in their sin and go to hell if God did not come to where they was and lift them out of the depths of their sin, depravity, ungodliness, wicked, evil, lift them out of the broad way and set them on a straight and narrow path that would eventually lead unto life for the glory of God. So I want to preach on Jesus Christ, a friend of sinners. She said, "This is my beloved." And she stopped and paused and said, "And my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." Amen to God. Now the Bible said in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and that's why I said I marvel at what Brother Doug sang in the choir. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." I'm glad, thank God, that sinners want to hear the Word of God. I tell you, the self-righteous man or the hypocrite doesn't want anything to do with the Word of God. But old sinners like you and I that have been saved by the grace of God, we realize that He has the words of life. And to whom should we turn to? There is none other. There is none other man under heaven, name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that Jesus receives tonight sinful men. And these publicans and sinners, they drew near to hear Him. And it goes on to say, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, and saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That is that He makes us accepted in the Beloved. I want to say to you tonight, my friend, that there is no righteousness in you that God would want you. There is no good thing in you that would cause God to love you. But I'm glad, thank God, on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. We have, that's right, we have received the golden scepter of invitation that we might come to God because we have been accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. When He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," He meant it. And no man in his own righteousness or holiness can stand in the presence of God except, my friend, by the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Now stay right with me. Do you believe in that same chapter? It's where our Lord deals with the lost sheep. Tells about that man that left the 99 and went out to find that one little old lost sheep that went astray. It's the same chapter that talks about that woman that lost her silver coin. The Bible said she lit a candle and swept the house until she found that coin. But that last parable is about that prodigal son that took all that he had in his inheritance. Friend, I'm telling you, that's where we were. Wanted it all that was coming to us. And I'm afraid, like that prodigal, we went down into a far country and squandered what was ours on that riotous living. But thank God that Jesus didn't leave him down there. The Bible said when he came to himself, he realized that the servants in the Father's house had more to eat than what he had. And so he arose and went back to the Father. And guess what he found when he got there? He found the Father with open arms. Amen. With a robe and a ring and a pair of shoes and a fatted calf. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that Christ, my friend, is a friend of sinners. Yeah. Some of you folk in here trying to get good enough to merit His friendship and love, you ain't going to make it. When you acknowledge you're a worm and no man, and a sinner, and deserving of hell, and ought to be there with your neck broke. Amen to God. That's right. That's what some of you young people in here tonight need to realize, that just because you're who you are doesn't mean a thing with God. You're a sinner, my friend, out of the loins of Adam. And just like mom and daddy, there's no good thing in you, and you ought to be in hell. But God has showed you mercy and brought you to a place where you can hear the preaching of the gospel. That's how much of a friend He is. He brought you where you can hear the gospel and escape the torments and damnation of hell. I'm trying to get there. In Luke chapter 7, verse 34, the Bible says, the Son of Man is come eating. It's talking about John. And they said that John had a devil. They said that and Jesus said, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine bibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. Isn't that a marvelous thing, my friend, that the crowd out there can recognize the friendship of God toward His people before the people of God that has inherited the blessings can really understand that we have got a friend that left heaven's glory and came to this world, redeemed our soul, went back to God, and He ever liveth to make intercession for us today. Whoa, He's our friend. He's our judge advocate. He stands between us and God to plead our cause before God night and day. Every time the devil accuses the brethren, the Lord Jesus is there as an advocate, my friend, to plead our case and our cause before Almighty God. Amen. I want to define the word friend. That word defined means one who is attached to another by affection. When she said that He's my friend, she said, I'm attached to Him. There is an affection there. He is my friend. Hey, and look here. We loved Him because He first loved us. Ain't that what the Bible said? We weren't friendly with God. In fact, my friend, we were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God and enemies of the cross of Christ. And yet, as an enemy, Christ was our friend and loved us and wooed us to God. One who is attached to another by affection. It means to seek to promote the happiness and prosperity of another. Thanks be unto God. Look here. Let me ask us that. We know that Jesus does seek, my friend, to try to promote the happiness and the prosperity of you and I. But I wonder tonight at Island Ford Baptist Church, I wonder how many friends they are sitting on the pews of this church tonight. How many of us really, my friend, try to promote the prosperity and happiness of somebody else? Go out of our way to try to make somebody else happy. I'm going to tell you, most of us are so stinking selfish that we want the happiness ourselves and to give a flip about the joy and happiness of anybody else. Amen to God. But if we are friends, like the Bible declares that we ought to be, we want to be friends to somebody else. Amen. That word friend means one that is reconciled after enmity. I wonder how many folks tonight, now don't leave me now. I wonder how many folks tonight can fall out with somebody and be reconciled and still remain friendly with them. Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, most of the time when we get our little selves crossed, when we get crossways with a brother or sister in Christ, My friend, there ain't no reconciling to it. And that friendship is severed. But I want to say to you, when Christ, when we were yet enemies in our mind, Christ having reconciled us back to God, and yet declares that we are His friends, hallelujah to God. Amen. Now just hang right with me, and I'll get to the thoughts in a minute. Got a long way to go to get there. I want to say that Jesus has proven Himself to be friendly. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I don't believe nobody can indict Christ and say that He did not show Himself friendly. That's right. He left all of heaven's glory, came to a hostile society, died by the hands of hostile men. He died for hostile men. And even on the cross cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to tell you something. Christ has done everything that He can do, my friend, to show Himself as a friend to you and I tonight. And not just a friend, but a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to say something. I want to park right there for a minute. I want to ask you young kids in here, every one of you. I'm talking to you young people. You want to have friends? You want to have real pals? Then show yourself friendly. If you want to have friends, the way to do it is for you to initiate that friendship and fellowship with somebody else. You ain't going to have many friends drawn up in a corner. Or being ugly, or having a sorry attitude towards somebody else. You're going to have a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's right. And some of you in here, and adults alike, amen to God. We need to come out of that shell and let folks know that we want to be friends with them. Amen. Help me out now. I won't say that Jesus remains our friend in spite of our faults and failures. Huh? A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. It didn't say that a friend that loves when we love them back. But a friend loveth at all times. I'll tell you, a friend will love you when you're being criticized. You'll still love them. Huh? If they turn their back on you, you'll still love them. Boys and girls, if they pull away from you and ignore you on the playground, if you're really a friend to them, you'll still love them. For a friend loveth at all times, regardless of their attitude. If you are their real friend, you will love them in spite of them. Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it's hard to do that. Huh? Is friendships not based on how much money we got? No, sir. And I'm going to say this honestly. It's not even based on our attitude toward Him. A friend loves at all times. Yay, amen. In spite of our faults and failures. Christ is our friend. We don't have to be perfect to be loved by Him. We're allowed to make mistakes and be loved by Him. Some folks got the idea that a Christian never makes a mistake and doesn't have any faults. But I'm glad Jesus realizes that I do have faults and I do make mistakes, and He yet loves me and is yet my friend in spite of it. Hallelujah. I want to say Jesus is our friend And doing so, He provides a very intimate relationship, even revealing the secrets of His own heart. I want everybody to come right in here in a minute. Did you know that a friend, and I'm going to get to something else on this in just a minute, but do you know that real friends are so intimate in their relationship that they don't mind revealing the very secrets of their heart because they realize that that friend they're talking to ain't going to spread the matter? Huh? Ain't going to spread the matter. Son, I'm telling you, long-tongued gossipers are not your friend. Hey, and I'll get there in just a minute. Did you know that Jesus said in the book of John, chapter number 15, verse 15, He said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." In other words, Jesus said, every secret that the Father hath shared with me, I have in turn revealed it unto you. I've kept nothing back. Huh? But now here's the verse we're getting to. Jesus is our friend, never listens to rumors or lies concerning us. Proverbs 16:28 said, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer," come on in the house, children, "a whisperer separateth chief friends." Do you know that this little crowd that gets off in the corners and whispers and talks, they separate chief friends? And it doesn't even say they've got to be talking about their friend. I'm going to tell you something that I despise. Now, come on, children. Help me a little bit. I'm going to tell you something I despise is to walk in on somebody and they be running their mouth and talking 90 miles an hour, and the minute I walk into the room where they're at, they dry up like a clam. I don't have no idea what they were talking about, but I'm going to tell you the idea that is planted in my mind. The idea that's planted there is that they have been talking about me. Surely you ain't never done that. Huh? "A whisperer separateth chief friends." Hey, I go back to the other point. Jesus can reveal to us in the most intimate thoughts that He has, or we can to Him. And He will never tell anybody one thing about it. That's why I encourage prayer. My God, you ought to fall on your face and your sin, confess it before God. And I take my word in the Bible, He'll never spread that rumor or spread your sin or tell your sin to nobody else. That's right. He'll keep the most intimate secrets of your heart and never tell anybody else anything about it. But I'm going to tell you what we call friends today, most of them will do. Just tell them a little secret. Something that you want to confide in them about. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. It's like striking a match in an Oklahoma sagebrush field with a wind blowing 90 miles an hour. That's not a friend. That's not a friend. A whisperer separateth chief friends. That's right. And there's another one almost like that. I want to get it in tonight if I may. I want to get it in. Jesus as our friend. Oh, there's another verse, Proverbs 17:9. "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." Repeating a matter. Now I want to say also that Jesus as our friend never gives bad counsel. And I'm trying, and y'all are going to have to help me a little bit. Jesus will never give us bad counsel. Yeah, hey, You need to be careful the friends that you choose. That's right. And you young folk need to be careful of the friends you choose. Hey, some folks can give you real bad counsel to follow. I thought about a fellow by the name of Amnon that had a sister by the name of Tamar. And Amnon, the Bible said Amnon had a friend. And old Amnon fell in love with his own sister. And that Jonadab, that friend of his, come to where old Amnon was at and said, "Man, why are you so lean all the day long? Aren't you the king's son? Don't you realize you can have anything that you want? All you got to do is throw a little temper tantrum and you can have anything you want." That's what some of you kids in here, the thought you're entertaining. All you got to do is throw a little temper tantrum to mom and daddy and you can have about anything that you want. Come on, children, and we'll preach a little while. Jonadab said, "You know the king ain't going to withhold Tamar from you. I'm going to tell you what to do." He said, "Just act like you're sick and send for her and let her make a meal in your presence. And let her serve you yonder in the bed. And when you get her in the bed, you can do anything you want to do with her." I'm going to tell you something, friend. Amnon followed the counsel of his friend. Amen to God. And it cost a great deal of trouble to him and to David's family. Now I'm here telling you, following the wrong counsel, son, will a lot of times bring havoc down upon your own head and upon your own family. And you young people in here need to be careful of the counsel that you follow as well. It can get you into a heap of trouble. Amen. That's right. Didn't get some of you little girls in the back seat of an automobile with a boy. It can cause you to lose your virginity in a place where you ought not to lose it. And by the way, little boys likewise. I've heard that crowd. Come on, man. Don't be a square. Well, you go down there and listen to that old stupid preacher preach. Hey, don't be a squire. Just one little drink. Just one little toke. That ain't going to hurt nothing. Why, I mean a little bit. Yeah, after all, I've read the Bible, man. I know what the Bible says. Drink no longer water but a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Just a little drink ain't going to hurt nobody. Somebody said, "Preacher, we won't hear that today." I'm telling you, the heart of man has never changed, bless your heart. And I heard it when I was a young boy, and you'll hear today.
Amen.
I don't care what that preacher says. When you get out away from that church, you don't have to do like he says. And by the way, you don't even have to do what mommy and daddy tells you when you get out from under their watch there a little bit. Come on, be cool. Let's put on a pair of short shorts.
Amen. Preach.
Yeah. Go ahead. Let's walk downtown and strut a while. Buddy, I got old Benny yesterday. We pulled up into Lowe's and that van of his is going to pick up some flooring. And he is a moving and jerk. I said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "I want to get this thing parked where people can see my tail end." I said, "I don't believe I'd do that if I was you." Let me all catch up with slow freight. I'm going to tell you, that's what kind of counsel you'll get from some of your so-called friends. You'll never have to worry about that counsel from the Lord. Oh, everything that He instructs will be right and holy. Oh, it'll be true, my friend. And it will never bring you heartache and harm. It'll always bring good and blessing to your life. And listening to what Jesus has got to say. He is a friend, my beloved, that will never counsel you in the wrong way. I'm going to tell you something else about some of them friends out there. Jesus is a friend that'll never betray you. Bible said in Psalm 41:9, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread hath lifted up his heel against me. Luke 22:48 says, Jesus said to Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Huh? I'm going to tell you, you'll never have to worry about the Lord betraying you. I'll never forget years ago, and I don't mind telling you this. I don't like to, but I'm going to, because it's so dead and dry, I'm going to try to help you a little bit. But I'll never forget years ago, when I was out with the wrong crowd, and I was out, hey, and by the way, the wealthy, the Bible said, the rich hath many friends. And I had a little bit of money in my pocket. Oh, and we was out of cruising and a drinking that cool blue, you know. And suddenly, I mean, I had all kind of friends, buddy. They was hanging all over the automobile. And we was chauffeuring down the road, and that old piece of junk I had, the left front wheel fell completely off of it. And the next thing I knowed, my friends was walking up the road and was gone. They left old Brother Hall, wasn't a brother then, but they left old Hall standing there holding the bag.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, that crowd betrayed me. They claimed to be my friend.
Right.
But some days a lot of folk will get out of you what they can get out of you, and then they'll dump you. They are not your friend. Hallelujah. Our Lord will never play you for what He can get out of you. He'll always be your friend that He might bestow upon you good. But He'll never ask more from you than what is required and what you've got to give. That's right, buddy, and He'll never leave you in a pinch. That's why I said this morning, just hang in there. Things are going to get better. He's just a trying and a proving one. Hey, a try testing our love. Amen to God, proving our faith. And there's coming a day when the sun's going to shine again for Him. He's not betrayed His own. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. I guarantee you, He's a lingering around the house of God tonight. Amen. Amen. Bless His wonderful name. Well, I'm trying to preach a little while. Huh? I ain't got but 3 points. That was the introduction. I'm going to say 3 things and I'll close. Jesus was our friend when we were His enemies.
Amen.
Now that's a real statement if you can get a hold of that.
Amen.
Jesus was our friend when we were His enemies. Listen what the Bible said in Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreproachable in His sight. I thought of one of the greatest Bible illustrations that I know of a man that loved his friends when his friends were his enemies. I thought about a man by the name of Joseph that was rejected by his brethren because he had had a dream. He had had a dream that they bowed down to him. We're getting ready to preach a little while. I just felt something from another world. Joseph had a dream, my friend, that they were all in a field. And he said, your 11 sheaves did obeisance to my sheep. And they said, will we indeed bow down to you? I'm going to tell you what that crowd was saying. Joseph, we will not have you to rule over us. I'm going to tell you, my friend, that is the same thought that a sinner has. We will not have him to rule over us. I will not have him to rule over me. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God has got a way of working in your heart. Even though you're an enemy of God, He can work in your heart and reconcile you unto God and present you holy, unreprovable, my friend, and unblameable in the very sight of God. Amen. Hey, and Joseph was rejected by his brethren because of that dream. And then he was removed to a foreign land. They sold him into slavery. And he went down into Egypt, into a foreign land. Just like our Lord had to come from heaven to this earth, to a foreign land. And it was there on their second visit that He revealed, that Joseph revealed himself to them, that he was indeed their brother. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I'm going to get there in just a minute. But when Jacob died, those men, those brothers of his came and said, Our father did say while he was yet a living that you ought to forgive us of this trespass. I'm glad, thank God, that there's a father that has said you ought to forgive them for this trespass. Now get this now. There's his brothers that hated him. They rejected him. They sold him into slavery. They wanted nothing to do with him. And now here's Joseph, my friend, exalted to the second man in authority in the nation of Egypt. He could have very well put those men to death. And by the way, they hated him enough, my friend, that he could have put them to death and been justified in doing that. And I'm going to tell you what he did. He requited them. Here's a friend. He requited them good for their evil. There's a friend. That will requite us good for our evil. That's why Jesus said, "Pray for your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you." Joseph said that. Joseph said, "Fear not." Said, "You thought this to be evil to me, but said, God meant it for good. Amen. I just got another thought. That he said that I may save alive many souls." That's right. And I'm sure that Israel, when they realized that they had crucified the Prince of Glory, they entertained the thought of the wickedness and the evil that they had done. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You thought it to be evil, but God meant it to be good." He's done that I may save alive many souls. Somebody said, "What souls?" I'm glad you asked. A bunch of old Gentile dogs like you and I. I'm glad, thank God, that he was rejected by his brother, that he might be a friend to Gentiles like you and I and save us by the good grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank God. He was our friend when we were enemies. I won't say secondly, he was our friend when we were empty. Empty. I'm talking about, being broken. You ever been broke? You ever had nothing? I'm saying Jesus was our friend when we had nothing. It's easy, to have friends when you got a lot of money. But here we are absolutely in poverty with nothing. But yet Christ loved us while we were in that condition. I thought about old blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, verse 46. The Bible said Jesus had went into Jericho and was a-going out. And old blind Bartimaeus sat along the wayside begging. He was nothing but a beggar, my friend. Had not one thing to offer God. Amen. "In thy hand no price I bring, but simply through thy cross I cling." He was our friend while we was a beggar. Had nothing, my friend, to offer God. But he had everything to offer me. Hallelujah. I was just a beggar. And he passed by and I cast off the old tattered garment and he gave me a robe of pure white. Amen. Just a beggar. We had nothing at all to offer Jesus. We were empty. He was a beggar, and he was born in darkness. And I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes, the darkness flees. Boy, like that old song Brother Roloff sings, "One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind. The light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. But Jesus came and bade his darkness flee." Jesus said, "What would you have me to do?" And he said, "That I might receive my sight." He said, as thy faith is, so be it unto thee. And he went away seeing. Amen to God. He is born in darkness. He had nothing to offer Jesus. He held a cup in his hand looking for a free gift. Boys, I wished it was on in here a little bit because this is a good thought. And we did earn a hammer. But it's a good thought. He sat there with a cup looking for a handout. A beggar, empty, broke, had nothing to offer God. And there he sits. With an empty cup. Alms. What do you have to offer the Lord? I have nothing. What's that in your hand? It's an empty cup. I can hear him singing. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. How does that go? The thirsting of my soul. And what was it he said in Psalm 23? And my cup. Look at that. Would you believe that water is higher than the brim of the cup? Can you see it? Can you all see it? It's higher. It's standing up higher than the cup rim. There he sat with an empty cup. He had nothing but an empty cup. And I'm telling you, friend, you wasn't nothing but a beggar sitting by the wayside with nothing but an empty cup. But brother, when Jesus passed by your way, he filled your cup, and as the psalmist said, thank God my cup runneth o'er. I had nothing to offer him, but hallelujah. He filled me up when I was empty. He filled me up, my friend, with joy. He filled me up with the Holy Ghost. He filled me up with the power of God. He filled me up with the blessings of heaven. Yes, sir, I was empty, but I'm full. Blessed be his name. I like it. Because out of that cup he fills up, you can get a drink of it, and guess what he'll do? Uh-oh. Lord, it's full again. I know it is, Bartimaeus. And every time you take a drink, I'm going to fill you up. Lord, I'm just an old empty sinner. I had no righteousness of my own. I had no holiness of my own. Oh, no, I was just a sinner, just a beggar. But you have filled my cup until they're running over, Lord. Hallelujah. Ain't that right, Leroy? What'd you fill me with, Lord? Well, Bartimaeus, I'm going to fill you full of praise.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
When was the last time we just cut loose? Yeah. On a dead night like this, it'd be wonderful just to cut loose one more time. Amen. I'm going to say, we never get a hold of what I'm preaching. Yeah. That we is an empty cup. Had nothing to offer him. But he passed by our way when we were blind and on our way to hell. And filled up our cup, thank God, with the praises of God for his goodness to us in the land of the living. Bless his wonderful name. Guess what? I still got a little bit more in that thing. I don't know what else I can get out of it. I like it. I like it. I'm glad Jesus, a friend of the, was our friend when we were empty. I dare one of you tonight to stand up and tell me you've got the power to fill yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll never get full until you realize you're empty.
Amen.
And a nobody and a nothing.
Amen.
Help me, Jerome.
Amen.
It's our problem today. And look here. And you'll never get filled up until you empty yourself of the world and all the mess. Oh, that's right. And the pleasures of this life. Praise God. It ain't no wonder we don't have any God in us. We're full of everything else. You couldn't crowd much of God in most of us. Jesus filled our spiritual cup until it was a running over. The Bible said that Bartimaeus called him and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he cast it away, his garment rose and came to Jesus. Oh, I can just hear him now. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Arise, he calleth thee. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Did you get a hold of that? Arise! Every sinner I know is down. He's down. Every sinner is down. But he said, arise! He calleth me. I'm glad, thank God, he was enough friend of me that there came a day that God called me. As a friend, he called me. Arise, Bartimaeus. He calleth thee. Get this now. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called.
Amen.
They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. My cup's empty.
Amen.
And I have no friends. But arise, he calleth thee.
Amen.
And be comforted.
Amen.
Because a friend of sinners has just passed by your way, Bartimaeus.
Amen.
And although you're empty and have nothing, you're a beggar, he's passed by your way and offered you everything
Amen.
That belongs to God is now part of yours. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
We're heirs of God. He's doing all right tonight. You ever seen yourself with nothing? No wonder the songwriter said, in my hand no price I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Hey, he's empty, but now he's called and he's comforted at the same time. Look here. And it said, he casting away his garment. Oh. He casting away his garment. Dropped that old robe of self-righteousness. Took off that old coat of pride. I'm going to tell you what some folks need to do is lay aside that old code of religion and get born again by the grace of God. Amen. A lot of folks tonight are trying to cover up their naked soul with a little bit of religion. Ain't got no more God about them than a billy goat. Pardon me, I got to take some entertainers, but the entertaining is now over. Huh? Casting away his garment. He was called. He was comforted. He cast away his old garment. And buddy, I like this last part of it. And said he arose. And guess what he done? He called, comforted, cast away his garment. But that last part of that verse said, and he came to Jesus. Hallelujah to God. As a friend, he was a friend to Bartimaeus. Look here, Bartimaeus was an enemy in his mind. He was empty and void of any righteousness or holiness at all. Empty. God called him and filled him. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with some of you. Jerry just got filled up a little bit and y'all don't know how to handle it. That don't bother me a bit. Somebody said, well, that's wildfire. Bless your heart, we have had no fire for so long. Wildfire would be good fire. Somebody strike a match and fan it. Well, we don't like wildfire. There's enough wet blankets to put it out, son. Don't worry about it. I mean, I could preach on that empty a long time. I had no understanding. Didn't understand a thing about that Bible. But because there was a friend that knew everything about it. Now, I don't even like this word, Brother Billy, but thank God I'm going to use it. He shared everything he knows with me when he gave me that King James 1611 Bible. He gave me a little understanding. I was empty. Hey, I had no option, but hallelujah to God. Way back in 1983, buddy, down in the ashes of an old camp meeting, God, the Holy Ghost filled me up and gave me a little option down in my soul. Y'all wouldn't believe, but I didn't know I was going to be able to preach when I started tonight. I threw my neck out of joint this morning. It's a feeling pretty good. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad he's my friend. I want to say in closing, Jesus was our friend when we were enemies. Jesus was our friend when we were empty. And I never do pronounce this word right. People tell me I don't. I'm just going to pronounce it the best way I know how. Jesus was our friend, or is our friend, when we're erring. I'm talking about going astray. Now, a lot of people don't believe that, but he is, buddy. A lot of folks, we won't nail her down so tight that you can't fail, falter, stumble, stagger, wiggle on the axle or anything and still be saved. But I'm going to tell you something. God loves us. Jesus is our friend when we're going astray. Somebody said, preacher, can you prove that? I can prove it all through the Bible. Where do you want me to start? I can go all the way back to Adam and tell you that Adam put the whole human race into sin, my friend. But it was the friendship of God that drew nigh to him when he was an enemy of God and empty. And God, when he had erred from the commandment of God, and God came right to where he was. As a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You think God is going to forsake his creation? His crowning creation? Not on your life. You want me to come on down the line? Huh? What are you going to do about Elijah? When old Elijah strayed, went off and sat down under the juniper tree. What are you going to do about Jeremiah when Jeremiah said, I will not preach no more? But I'm telling you, the Word of God was like a fire burning down in his bones. And he could not stay. He said, I wish I could think of the words of that song. I'm going to tell you what old Jeremiah said. He said, I'm going to tell it. Everywhere I go. He said, I tell it all day and I tell it all night. I'm going to tell everybody what the Lord has done for me. You may not like that, buddy, but I do. Thanks be unto God. Yes, sir, son. That's where the Word of God gets to be a fire
a burning in our bones. We'll tell her to truck drivers, bless your heart, and tell her to warehouse, bless. We'll tell her to EMS or whatever they are. Oh, yeah, buddy, we'll tell her the carpenter's out on the job. We'll tell her on the radio, tell her in the pulpit, tell her everywhere we go what Jesus done for me. Hallelujah to God. I'm not ashamed of what he does. I'm just about to get wound up and crazier than a mad dog.
Amen.
Old song says, I'll tell it all day and I'll tell it all night. Gonna tell everybody what the Lord has done for me.
Amen.
God, that's right, ain't it, Brother Mark?
Amen,
yeah. Amen to God. What are you going to do about other men in the Bible? What are you going to do about Peter that denied the Lord and cursed him? But immediately after the resurrection, Jesus said, go tell my disciples and Peter that I go before them into Galilee.
Amen.
I believe I can read between the lines. He said, tell Peter I'm still his friend.
Amen.
Woo! Anybody in here tonight ever got bent out of joint? You went astray, friend, if you got bent out of joint. If your attitude got wrong, you got bent out of joint. But thank God, as a friend, he stuck with you closer than a brother and drew nigh to where you were that he might reconcile you and draw you back into the fellowship that you had departed out of. Some of y'all in here tonight, I used to see tears in your eyes. Hear you shout and sing. Some of you women in here used to run the aisles.
Amen.
I think we ought to furnish roller skates next Sunday morning and skate around the aisles.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't like all that emotion. Get saved. Uh-oh, I tore up my lid. Got plumb excited, didn't I? And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you's there just a little bit. What are you going to do about the disciples in John 21? Old Peter said, I'm going to fish them. Well, he's dead. We might as well go catch some fish. And the Bible said that they toiled and fished all night long and caught nothing.
Amen.
But come the next morning, they look, and guess who's standing there on the land?
Yes.
Children! If I can read his heart just for a minute. You know what he said? He said, have you any meat? If I can read his heart to you for a minute, he said, what on God's name are you doing out there in that boat fishing? What are you doing? Didn't I tell you, Peter, when I called you and James and John, if you followed me, I'd make you fishers of men? What are you doing trying to catch minnows and bluegills? Peter didn't know who it was. The Lord said, throw your net on the right side of the boat. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, they were laboring in self-will. But buddy, when you labor in the right way, on the right side of the ship, when you do things God's way, I think they caught 153 fish. There they are, right back to their same old occupation. But there stands Jesus on the bank. As a friend to the erring one. Children! Got any meat? Not one. But when they got to land, that friend of the erring one had a bit of hot coals.
Amen.
And a little broad fish. and bread on the fire.
Amen.
You can't improve on that. That's what Harold Zeitler said. Bread and fish and honeycomb. You can't get any better than that. Elliot Smith told Brother Aubrey Brown some years back, said, Brother Brown, said, you like fish? He said, yes, sir, I like fish. He said, I guess you know if you're going to be like the Lord, said, you've got to eat it broil. Said, the Lord eat his broil. Brother Brown said, he might eat his broil, but I like mine fried.
Amen.
But you can't, hey, there's your friend. Look here. God was a friend to some of you this morning, and some of you don't even know him. Some of you have erred. You've grown cold in your heart. You've got away from God. You've drifted from the shore, buddy. Your eyes hadn't had a tear in them for so long, and you hadn't shouted in so long and worshiped God. You don't know what it's like anymore. But God put the truth. I told my wife when we left, I said, I'm not saying this because of me, but if there's ever truth preached to a church, our church had truth this morning, and I wonder if it done one thing for us. I preached where you're living. Did it help? What I'm saying is this, that God is enough of your friend, that even in your straying from Him, He let a little preacher get up and pinpoint your problem this morning.
Amen.
Are you willing to get right over it?
Right.
Are you willing to make her right?
Amen.
He's a friend of the erring, to those that are straying. They had left their first love. He asked Peter, said, lovest thou me more than these, Peter? What's your problem? But he was still their friend.
Amen.
You know why a friend loveth at all times, even when we're erring? A friend sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. When Jesus left them, He didn't run down the road and find somebody and say, guess what I found Peter, James, and John doing, and them other disciples. They was out fishing. Sorry, bunch of devils. He concealeth the matter.
Amen.
But they left their first love, friend. He was still friendly to them.
Amen.
He never chided them. He never criticized them. He never fussed at them. He never complained. I'm trying to learn that. I would to God that some of you this morning would have got on this altar. Some that I thought should have didn't move an inch. And some that I never dreamed would move did move. Some I didn't know it would be touched at all. Their eyes were red and watery. And some that I felt like should be was as dry as they could possibly be. But I'm trying to learn not to stand up and lamb blast you for it. I know you're human just like I am. And I want to try to love you like Jesus does and be a friend to you.
Amen.
And preach to you in a way to help you get right. I've tried to this morning. I'm trying to tonight.
Amen.
The best I can, I'm trying to tonight. Our brother Brown called me. I told him, I said, the message tonight ain't going to fly. I can tell you, I can just feel it in my heart. But I'm going to give it my best shot.
Amen.
They had left their first love. They labored in self-will. And they were letting the flesh control their decisions.
That's right.
They said, let's go fishing.
Yeah.
But yet Jesus stood as a friend.
Amen.
I know you've strayed, He said, but I still love you.
Amen.
I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm a friend that loveth at all times.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm a friend that you can lay your head in my bosom and tell me all your heart, and I'll never tell another soul about it.
Amen.
I'll keep it even quieter than the priest will. And you don't have to pay me for it.
Amen.
Won't you lay your head in His bosom tonight? Tell Him all about it. Where your problems are. I guarantee you, He'll never run and spread gossip and tell nobody anything about it.
Amen.
He'll just do something about it.
Amen.
Because He is your friend. I've tried to preach to you. Let's stand together. I'm going to close.